voz. Worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my dear King, in what you let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God's awesome. All the time, but God's awesome. Somebody turn around and give my high five, low five. Give them something. Let them know God's got this. Amen. Beautiful. Thanks after her, Paw Paw. Well, if she takes after her dad, and everybody says, like, I spit him out of my mouth, and she took after her Paw Paw. Ain't that right, bud? Yeah. We're going to do something again different today. Last week we did something different. This week we're going to do something different. Matter of fact, the Lord was speaking to me. That's one of the reasons why Brandon kept going. I was glad he did, because as the Lord was speaking to him, he was speaking to me. And then DC, as DC was speaking, the Lord was speaking to me again. So we're just gonna forget the PowerPoint today. Matter of fact, we're gonna forget all of that right now. We're gonna do something entirely different. Amen. God's good all the time. Amen. Fresh off the press, about as fresh as you can get. Amen. Again, one of my favorite scriptures of all times. It's one that I go to so many times. And as you know, life has been so disheveled and so disheveled in the last 6 months with Beth, thinking it was a little cyst and it wound up being cancer, and thinking it was in her belly button only, and it's all over her body. And as all that was going through, the Lord has been teaching me something and showing me something. And one of the biggest things is, even in worship, am I being pleased? Come on now. It's not, am I being pleased? Is He being pleased? Am I here to be worshiped, or am I here to be excuse me, not worshiped? Am I here to be sang to, or am I here to worship God? Amen. God is an audience of one, and He's up there right now, and He's watching us, and He sees us, and He knows us, and He understands us better than anybody else. Get your Bibles out again to John 14. John 14. God is so awesome. Now, if everybody was excited about church as he was, can you imagine what kind of service we'd have today? Liam, you go ahead and show them how to do it, bro. That's right. John 14 As I've been studying and preparing in my psychology and studying and preparing in the life coaching and studying and preparing in just pastoring. And as a matter of fact, it's the biggest part of studying and preparing for life, especially life now with Bethany, as I start to see this stuff. And I hear all these conflicting reports from the doctors and all this stuff all the time. It's so easy to go to one doctor's visit and get discouraged, and go to another doctor's visit, get lifted up, and go to another one, get discouraged, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all the stuff they're saying they're going to do and what they have to do, and It just is so overwhelming, and I can't even imagine what Bethany's thinking, you know. But when I know what it does to me, and I just think about this, I can't get off your mind because you're always in it. Amen. Sometimes it's easy to back away because you're not always in it, but when you're always in it, you can't back away. There's nowhere to back up to. Amen. It's backing up to the wall. There's nowhere else to go. You're in it. So there's a lot of things, all of y'all today. If you tell me about it, I may feel empathy or sympathy or compassion for you now, but once you leave because I'm not in it, it may not stick with me for the rest of the day because I'm not in it. But some of y'all, your backs are against the wall. Because your backs are against the wall, you feel it. And it's something you can't shake, you can't throw down. It's just something that just hits you and hits you hard. And the thing is, it's like a train. It just keeps on coming. Amen? So this is a very crucial night in the life of the apostles. The apostles had, they come to a party expecting Jesus to set up an earthly reign. James and John sent their mama to go see if they could sit on the right hand or the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. And then Jesus has to get all down and out with them and say, y'all got this all wrong. Said, this is not what you're thinking. And Peter jumps up and he's talking about, well, I got this, God. I'm not going to let you down. I won't do it again. I won't let you down. He said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to do it. You ever been there? So all this stuff's going on. And then Jesus senses it's no longer party time. It's actually pouting time. And so as he's seeing the things going around him and things turning, he starts talking to them. So that's what I talk. I want y'all to read this with me. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for all that you say and all that you do in our lives, God. I thank you, God, that this day is in your heart, is in your mind, is already played out in your mind. You already see it. You already know. You already knew before we got here who was going to be here. You already had this thing prepared. You already had this thing all under control. All these songs, all this stuff, everything that's happened today, it's not by mechanics. But it's by divine appointment and by divine schedule, God, that you're working in our lives. And you're working this morning. Help us, God, not to be discouraged, and help us, God, not to have our mind on other things. God, whatever's breaking our focus right now, let us put it aside so we can totally, 100% focus on you and your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. You be seated. I don't have a name for this. All I can think about is these disciples have been walking with Jesus for 3 years. Now you got to remember, they walked wherever they went. They did not have PA systems. They did not have roadies. They did not have travel vans. They did not have this great big account set up for them so they could have everything for them. They walked literally by faith. They had been with Jesus for 3 or 3.5 years. And these 3.5 years have been very special. It almost seemed like a lifetime. Some of y'all in here right now, if I say what you've been going through for the last 6 months, the last year, the last 2 years, the last 3 years, if I ask you, how do you feel about that? They'll say, it feels like I've been in it all of my life. It feels like the pain is so real and it won't stop. It just keeps cutting and cutting and cutting. And I'm asking God, when is there going to be a break? When is something going to change? When am I going to see you do something, God? And God's waiting to hear, even if it never happens down here, I'm still going to serve you, God. I'm still going to love you, God. I'm still going to witness for you, God. I'm still going to let the world know that there's something special in serving you here, even in the midst of problems, and there's something special coming on the other side. So let's watch these guys. There's just three words. The first year they were with Jesus, they were settling. They were trying to, you know, get the pecking order going. They were trying to see who was going to do what. And Jesus, because people didn't really know him yet, it was a year of obscurity. So Jesus is just getting on board. Jesus is just beginning to move in. And John the Baptist is moving out. Everybody knows about John the Baptist. Now they're hearing about Jesus. And so they're going back and forth. And even John, who said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," when he's under the gun, he says, send word to Jesus. Is he the one coming or is there another? Wow, you can't get much greater than John the Baptist. And even he had doubts. A year of obscurity, settling. Some of y'all, when you were running into these problems, some of y'all, when you began to get sick, some of y'all, when y'all began to come in all kinds of problems on your job or with your family or in your own life, you were settling. You were trying to get in it, to try to adjust yourself, to fit in, to find things, get a little bit easier. And then the second year, settled. Now Jesus is popular. Everybody likes him now. He's the man. I mean, we've seen him feed 5,000. We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen all this stuff. And so we're settled now because we know who we're serving and we know that he's got this and we trust him and he's going to set up an earthly kingdom and he's going to fix everything right down here just like it should be fixed. I know nobody in here has ever thought that. That God's going to fix your problem just like you want right down here. Before you leave this earth, everything's going to be fine and dandy. There's going to be a kingdom down here for you. I used to think that way. And then life hit me right below the belt. And I began to know then, no. That's not how it works. Yes, there's stuff down here. Yes, you're blessed down here. Yes, you can do things down here. But this is not where it's at. We struggle to keep from going to the funeral home, but we sing we want to get to heaven. You're talking about somebody looking like they're manic, depressive, and crazy? We are! God, I can't wait to get to heaven, just don't let me die. I got news for you. The Sunday school teacher was asking children, what do you got to do to get to heaven? And they were talking about, you got to be saved. And something said, you know, this. And then little Johnny, you got to be saved. Little Mary, you got to be saved. Little Johnny says, what do you got to do to get to heaven? He said, you got to be dead. We look down here and respect everything. We just pray and we seek and we trust. And we got these guys on TV that honestly, I've watched it. Every morning when I get up, I hear it. You send your $1,000 pledge and you watch what God does for you. Every morning of my life, I hear that. And every morning of my life, I say, if I'm going to pledge $1,000, it's going to my local church where I know where it's going. Not to some guy that I know found out he's driving 3 Bentleys. Yes. But I was watching this stuff and thinking, everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be. These guys are settled now. The settling is over. They are settled. Some of us in here, right when we were settled, came the third year. Jesus first was obscure. It was obscurity. The second year, it was popularity. The third year was hatred. They hated him. Religion hated him because he was taking away their power. The Roman government hated him because he was taking away their power and authority. And so the government was against him. The religious people were against him. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of them were against him. And so now they're trying to plot a way to kill him. So, there was a year of unsettling. Some of us in here have had the unsettling. Then there's the year of the settling. Everybody settled down. We got a good ministry going. We got everything going good. I got a house. I got a wife. I got kids. Everything's looking good. I'm going to church on Sunday. I go sometimes during the week. Maybe not. You know, I'll take care of God when I feel like it, blah, blah, blah. But I'm settled. Everything's good. And then just like with Jesus, literally, all hell breaks loose. And you wonder, wait a minute, God. It took me a long time from settling to settled, and now I'm settled. And now because I'm settled, everything should be good. But now, all of a sudden, I'm unsettled. What's going on, God? What's happening? This is what happened here. They were with God. They thought it was going good. They were His right-hand men. They went around casting out demons. They went around doing miracles. They had all this stuff going on down here, and things were looking good. And then Jesus says, "Hold on, fellas. Y'all got it all wrong. You got this thing all out of order." Said, "Y'all are looking down when you should be looking up. Y'all are looking for something that you can put your hands on. I'm trying to show you something you can't even touch down here. And you're talking about something that's going to make you feel good down here, and I'm talking about something that's going to make you feel good forever. You're looking at temporal, and I'm looking at eternal." And so He says, watch this. He sees them now, because now all of a sudden the party's dying down. He's already talking about somebody's going to betray Him. Judas has come up and He says, "What you do quickly." And Judas goes out and getting ready to betray Him. He's going to get his pieces of silver and come back. And they're going to lead him in the garden to where they're at so he can get Jesus. And so all this stuff is going down. Behind the scenes, bad stuff's happening. And everybody's feeling it, the dark cloud. Because now the settled has become unsettled. Some of y'all in here right now, you're feeling the dark cloud in your own life. Don't raise your hand. Don't point. Don't say anything. But you know it's true. You're feeling the dark cloud in your life. You're wondering, what did I do, God? I thought I did it all right. I dotted every I. I crossed every T. I did it right. I went from unsettled to settled and everything was going good. And now I am so unsettled, I don't know what to do. So Jesus sees this in His guys. As He sees it in His guys, He tells them this. He says, watch this. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now the word heart is not just a pum 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 pum. It is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. I can guarantee you whatever stays on your mind eventually will work through your emotions. And if it works through your emotions, it will become part of your will. If it's in your will, then in your will, all of a sudden it'll be through your mind, and then from your mind it goes to your emotions. They're also interconnected. So your mind, your will, your commotion, or your emotions. Now you can call it your commotions. He says, "Let not your mind, your will, your emotions be troubled." You know, I remember that day sitting in the doctor's office after we went through all this stuff with Bethany, and the surgeons were trying to burn out this stuff in her stomach because they said it's a cyst. We're going to burn it out. If somebody had done a little deeper search, they'd have found out that it weren't just here. It went all the way back here. And from back here, it went all the way up here. And it went up here. They didn't even see all that. All they saw was that one little spot. They focused on the small picture instead of the big picture. And then the nurse says, "You need to go get this," or a nurse practitioner, "You need to go get this checked out. You got this 8x8 centimeter thing under your arm. You need to get it checked out." And so we go to Beaufort County Hospital. They do a CT scan. We come back, and the nurse practitioner says, "Sit down." Says, "I'm not sure what this is. It could be a bad gland, or it could be just some kind of fatty tissue, or it can be cancer. We're not sure." And while we're talking, she gets called out of the room. And she comes back in and she says, "Radiation just called and said, get you to the ladies' clinic, the breast imaging center in Greenville. This looks like a tumor." And when she said that, Beth looked up and she said, and I remember this, I will never forget this. I'll go lay down at night and I see this in my head. It's about the only time Bethany even showed that negative, "I'm afraid." This is about the only time. Tears started running down her cheeks. And she said, "Are you telling me I got cancer?" And before I could get to her, the doctor or the nurse practitioner, she went and grabbed Bethany. And she held her before I could even get to her. And she said, "I'm not saying that. We just got to get it checked out." And in 24 hours, our world changed, because then we found out not only did she have cancer, it was stage 4, malignant stage 4, and it was all over. Wow. You talk about settled, unsettling. Wow, the unsettling was there. All of a sudden, everything just changed. And I remember Linda and I got together and said, how are we going to tell her? And so we got together and we figured out a plan to tell her. We said, okay, Bethany, we're going to tell her what's going on. Then we'll take her anywhere she wants to go tonight. We'll let her have supper anywhere, whatever. And so we go to tell her that, Bethany, it is cancer. It's stage 4 and it's over all over your body. And Bethany looked at me and her mom and said, God's got this. I'm unsettled. Linda's unsettled. And Bethany's going, God's got this. Made me feel like I was no longer a spiritual giant. She was. I said, you can go anywhere you want and get anything you want for supper. You name it. You can have it. We'll take it in the movie. She said, can you just order me some chicken fettuccine from Domino's? Have them deliver it here. She said, what are y'all getting all worked up about? God's got this. Wow. I felt like she was telling me what Jesus told his disciples that night. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. We have a washing machine for some reason, this crazy washing machine. If you put too much water or put too much in it, somehow it gets out of balance. And when it gets out of balance, you'll sit there and you'll think somebody's beating the house on top of the roof. Boom, 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 boom. I go out there and look and see it's the washing machine. It's done throwing water everywhere, and it's got, so I had to watch, kind of monitor my loads when I put it in the washing machine because it's done gone crazy. I'm gonna have to get it worked on because it can't handle the load. But the problem comes, watch this, when it's agitating, you got to listen good. When it agitates, it unsettles the load. And so when it spins, it tries to throw it off its mark. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled is agitated. The same exact word that you use with a washing machine. My washing machine, the agitator will make the load shift. And when the load shifts, if it shifts, then we got problems. Some of us in here, we're so unsettled. We're agitated. Something has got us. It's got our nerves. It's got our mind. It's got our emotions. It's got our will. It's got us. And it's agitating us. Our emotions. We don't know how to even feel anymore. Our mind, we can't even think. And our will, we just want to run somewhere and hide. But you can't. Because you're in that room. You've painted yourself in a corner. Life has painted you in a corner. You're stuck there. These guys were stuck, as they thought, in the middle of all this. And he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Why did he say that? I believe part of it was because he said, you believe in God, he knows where you're at, and he sent the answer. You believe in God, he's going to send the answer. Also believe in me, I am the answer. He sent me. Hold on. When life is agitating, when you go from unsettled to settled, to unsettled again, it's so easy to lose your faith. It's so easy to blame God. It's so easy to have all these emotions. It is so easy, and it does happen. And I'm telling you, it happens more than you ever imagine. But people, you just have to let people sometimes vent. They just got to vent. And when they get through venting, then they'll be okay. But until they vent, they've got these emotions in them, and it's got their mind, their will. Their emotions are all bottled up inside, and they're all agitated. And while they're agitated, they get unsettled. And when they get unsettled and get out of balance, you're in that spin cycle, and things are just making no kind of sense whatsoever. You're being shifted back and forth and thrown every which way. And Jesus said, God's got this, and he sent me to handle it. Then Jesus starts pointing to the cross. You say, well, that's all he said. You believe in the Father, you believe in me. No, now he's starting to point to the cross. Because he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. We're thinking, well, he's just going to go to heaven to prepare a place. No. He's going to the cross first. And after he goes to the cross, then he's going to the tomb. And while he's in the tomb, Peter tells us that he went into hell. Not to suffer, but to take the keys from Satan and to deliver those that believed in him before they died. And carry them to heaven. You believe in Father, Believe also in me. For not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the tomb. I'm going to hell. And then I'm coming back, and I'm going to heaven. And the final place that I'm at is where you're going to be. Wow. When your heart's agitated, when you go from settled to unsettled, to settled, to just pure out unsettled, beyond from settling to settled to unsettled, number one, you got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe there's an ultimate purpose for everything in your life. There's an ultimate purpose. The Bible says that God can bring, no matter what happens to us, He can bring good out of it. Every time, no matter how bad things were, I see God always, when you look in your rearview mirror, that's when you look in the rearview mirror, God always takes those hard, terrible times and He brings some good times out of it. There's always something. There's an ultimate good in it. You know, this is so wild. Some of y'all know the story, Bethany, how I was her seventh dad and how they really couldn't find a place for her. And it was really hard, you know, in her first 4 years, 5 years, or first 4 years of life with the abuse and all the stuff that was going on. And how they finally got exhausted trying to get her somewhere. And then they asked me, because I was going to court on her behalf, they asked me, would I take her? I said, sure. And so we had to go through the process, all this process. We became foster parents and all this stuff. And then we got her, and then they said, you can't foster any more kids because she can't see this. She cannot see kids coming and going. She's got to be settled. She's got to be settled because she's never been settled before. I said, okay, God. Well, and then, wow, life really got crazy because we found out about her abuse, found out about her face broke, and from the time she was 5 to the time she was 15, we were getting her face rebuilt. And then from the time she was 16 and by the time she was 17, we had to get her nose redone. And so all this stuff was going on, all these years of pain. I was in Pitt Detention Center Thursday night. I got a call. Sister Boone normally asked me, you know, give me a little bit of time before she asked. This time she asked me on Thursday morning. She called me at 6:30 in the morning. And she said, Brother David, can you go to Pitt Detention Center for me tonight and take care of those guys? I need somebody to stand in. Brother Ricky can't go. And I said, sure. And so I go there, and there's 4 or 5 guys, and there's a lady, and we're all settling where we're going to go, A block, B block, you know, going over to the ladies. And I look back, and I just said, does anybody want to go to D block and F block with me? And here's what I hear. I will, Mon. That sounds good to me, Mon. There's a guy from Jamaica. He goes, hey, Mon, let's go down there and talk to the prisoners, Mon. So we go down and talk to the prisoners. And we come back, and I'm restocking because I got books. I'm giving the guys books. And while I'm sitting there, the guy who knows nothing except that Bethany's sick, because he heard me tell the guys, and the guys are asking me all the time, how's your daughter doing? We've been praying for her, all this stuff. And so he heard about, knew that Bethany was sick. And that's all he knew. That's it. We sat down in the office for just a few minutes, and he looked at me, and he said, I know her life has been a struggle. I know that it was a struggle just trying to find her a dad. And said, I know it's a struggle for you now, because many dads would have already quit. Anyone she went to before would have quit by now. I'm going, wow. This is something. And he goes, but you know what? God chose you. He said, because He knew you wouldn't give up on her. And he says, you know something else? He says, there's something inside of Bethany. He says, I know her body's broken. I know this stuff's got her mind messed up. So her mind's broken. Her body's broken. He said, but her spirit's 100% intact. And he said, her spirit's reaching up to God and reaching back down. And he said, you hold on, because something special is getting ready to take place in her life and in y'all's life. Just watch. And I said, man, I'm thinking, I'm so glad I went to pit detention tonight. You see, when you're unsettled, when the plans have changed. Matter of fact, they hadn't just changed, they blew up in their face. Their plans blew up in their face. Nothing they were expecting was going to happen. They go to the garden, even bringing their sword because they're going to protect Jesus when they get to the garden. And Peter pulls out his sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. When he cuts off Malchus's ear, the high priest's servant, when he cuts off his ear, Jesus, after that, told him, said, you better bring something with you because it's going to be rough over there. And you bring something with you thinking you're doing what Jesus said do. And then Jesus says, oh, put your sword up. He that lives by the sword is going to die by it. And he reaches down and he takes the guy's ear and he sticks it back on his head and heals him. What is wrong with this picture? The people that are coming after him, he heals their wounds immediately. But the people that are serving him are still hurting. Huh? The guys that are coming to get him to take him to the cross. His ears cut off. Jesus reaches out immediately and heals him. And then instead of going, and they're all knocked down, he just goes with them. But the people that are serving him are still hurting. Oh, it doesn't make sense. All my plans have blown up in my face. It doesn't make sense. I was just settled, and now I'm unsettled. It doesn't make sense. Everything I had planned is no longer planned. Everything I thought was going to be is not happening. God, I don't understand. And then I see these people that could care less about you. You taking care of them. And I'm still hurting. What's happening? And Jesus said, look, don't worry about down here. I'm going to the cross. I'm getting ready. I'm getting things ready for you. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to get everything right. And I'm going to come back and take you to a place that you never could imagine. It's so awesome. The place is beyond compare. It's beyond thoughts that I've seen, neither I've seen or ear heard, only entered or neither into the heart of man except through his spirit, what he's prepared for us. Jesus says, when your mind, will, and emotion is being torn all to pieces, here's how they're settled. It may not ever change down here, but up there, something special is going to be there. Something special. I was just thinking about it the other night. I was talking to Dad, and we were talking about Mama and all the things Mama had gone through. By the time she died, she lost her legs all the way up to here. She had gone blind again. Her kidneys were messed up. She was on dialysis 5 times a day. That peritoneal dialysis, and just things were terrible. And she had a sore in her back that you could stick your fist in. And when she exhaled that last breath of earth's air, and she inhaled that first breath of heaven's air, because her body was broken, but her spirit was intact. Immediately she stood before God in his presence. Her eyes she could see again. There was no hole in her back. There was legs on her as she walked before God. Wow. Isn't it awesome? Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Because God's saying, I got this. Just like with Bethany. Dad, God's got this. The other day, we went to the doctor again. We went to Tarbor, to the lymphedema clinic. And her, remember her how swollen her arm was? And they had me wrapping these claws around. I told her she looked like a ghetto mummy. Because it kept falling. And so me being the engineering type, I said, I can fix this. While we're waiting for them to fix it, I'll go ahead and fix it. And so I got on Amazon, and I searched, and I measured her arm, got the measurement arm measurements and everything. And so I ordered her a sling. I think she's wearing it right now. And it's so amazing. This is God, not me. This got nothing to do with that sleeve. But we were there, and they said, you know what, Mr. Linton, total measurements. We were expecting it to go down by now at least 8 centimeters, maybe 10. She said, but it went down 18 centimeters. 18.9. And Bethany could just do like this to start with. And Bethany said, they said, can you move your arm? She said, how do you want me to move it? And all I could hear was the angels going, glory, glory, hallelujah. I'm not through with her yet. Hold on. And all I could hear was Bethany saying, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Wow. Then we go see the other doctor. Another doctor looks at her, the thyroid doctor, and she says, you know what? She says, how about you come back in 5 months? And then we go to the cancer doctor. He says, I tell you what, how about you come? We're going twice a week. He says, how about you come back in 3 weeks? He said, matter of fact, this is the best visit I've had in the last week. I'm so glad you came in. You make me feel so good, girl. And Beth, as I spent walked out, I said, how you feel about those visits? And as only Bethany can do it, she said, didn't I tell you? God's got this. And either way, Dad, I win. Either way, I win. Wow. I could hear Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, because there's a better day coming. A better day coming. Y'all come up here and play something. A better day coming. This was totally unprepared. This was totally just off the cuff, but I'm telling you, it was burning in my heart. I had to let it rip. All day today has been a let it rip Sunday. Wow. God's doing something special. We went over to see Uncle Ralph Wednesday night, I think it was. And Uncle Ralph, he's the one with cancer. And Uncle Ralph was kind of out of it. I knew something was wrong by the way he was acting. And so Dad said, what we're going to do? I said, we're going to call home health or hospice. He has hospice. I said, we're going to let them find out what's going on. So I called hospice, and they said, we'll be right there. In about 30 minutes, they were there. And he was talking kind of crazy. He was talking to my dead uncle, and he was just all kinds of stuff. And every now and then, he'd say something so powerful. And he popped up and said, why are y'all worried about me anyway? Where I'm going, there's not going to be cancer. He looked over at Bethany and said, hey, girl. He said something like this. Hey, girl, why don't you and I go right now? Something like that. And I said, how about y'all don't? I mean, I thought he was getting up a load right then. God has got this. Even if we win both ways. We win both ways, even if. I know things stir your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions. It's got it stirred. You went from settling to settled to unsettled. But Jesus already knew this was coming, so he wrote it. John 14. Get ready. When it comes, know that I've already taken care of it. Well, you still may go through it, but I've already taken care of it. In the end, you win. Everybody stand. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. When I ask you to, I want you to raise your hand, but not until You may be here today and you had the settling in your life and then you had the settled. And now everything's unsettling. It's blowing up. It's going crazy. You wish you could get away from it, but you can't. You're backed in the corner. You're with it every day. And it's got your mind, your will, your emotions in shock. Jesus said, He's the answer. He's the answer. The cross is the answer. He's the answer. If you're here right now and you're in that unsettled place, your mind, your will, your emotions are wanting, they're just going crazy on you and you're just wanting to run away. But you know you can't because your life has painted you in a corner. If I'm talking to you right now, I want you to know there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. None of the doctors said Bethany was healed. They didn't even say she was close to being healed. They said it would be years before anything would happen. We know God can change overnight, but they said now there's hope. There's hope. And that just settled me when I heard there's hope. The same way, John 14 tells us, from Him, from Jesus, there's hope. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, you've gone from settling to settled to unsettled, and you're needing some hope because your mind, your will, your emotions, they're in rags right now. They're tore to pieces, and you're trying to find some relief. But nobody's looking around. Nobody will see you. Would you just put up that hand so I can pray for you? You just put it up and say, I need God to help me because I'm unsettled right now. I need God to do something for me because life has become unsettled. And I need God more than ever. My mind is full of questions, not full of faith, full of questions. And God's saying, that's okay. I'm a big God. I can handle it. You may even be angry at God. It's okay. He's a big God. He can handle it. You may even lose some trust in God. That's okay. He's a big God. He can handle it. He's the one that created these emotions in us. He created our minds. He created our wills. He put this stuff in us. He knows how we're going to act and how we're going to react. And He still says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, which means come to me those that are worked up on the outside and worked up on the inside. Those that are worn out spiritually, physically, and emotionally, those that labor and heavy laden, come unto me and you'll find rest. That word rest doesn't mean to lay down and sleep. That word rest in that scripture, it's an agricultural term. It means to rotate the crops in order that the soil can heal. Because nutrients have been taken out because of whatever's in it. And you rotate the crops so it can rebuild and it can get back to where it belongs. God says, you come unto me that you're emotionally, physically, spiritually wore out. You'll find rest. I'll rotate those crops. I didn't say I'd stop the stuff from coming, but I'll rotate it so your body can build back up, so your mind can build back up, so your spirit can build back up. I will relieve the burden in one area, although the burden may still be in another area. I'll give you rest. I'll give it to you. You just got to trust me. Bethany still has to wear this thing on her arm. She's got to wear it for I don't know how long because she's got cancer coming through it. But you know what? Just hearing what I heard, 18.9 centimeters, and them talking about how her arm looks so good and she can move it, that gave me rest. It rotated the crop. She still got cancer. She still got a tumor almost the size of a small football inside of her chest, but I still got rest. Her crops are rotated. I can think a little different now. I see hope. If you need to pray for anything, the altars are open. You want to pray for anything? If you need that rest, if you just need God to touch you, if you got other things in your life, you need something from God, these altars are open. Don't be afraid. Don't even worry about what other people are thinking. It don't matter what they think anyway. This between you and God. You need to talk to God. Come on up now. All that will, come and pray. God's got this. God's got this. I may be unsettled now, but God's got this. The settling's coming. The settling's coming. Thank you, God. Let's all pray together. Y'all repeat after me. Lord, life can be very unsettling. Say it. My life is unsettled now. I need you to touch my life and those that are in my life and bring settling. I thank you, God, that my mind, my will, my emotions can be settled. And no matter what, even if I'm still going to serve you, I'm still going to trust you, I'm still going to look to you, because you got this. You got this. And either way, we win. Either way, we win. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for it. Touch them all, God. Bless them beyond blessed. In the name of Jesus. Anybody tell y'all guys looking good today? With the exception of a few of you, you're all looking really good. I won't mention who they are. If you have any doubts, just look in the mirror when you go out. You'll know. God is good. All the time, God is awesome. Brother Baker, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today. Such a privilege, Lord, just to be in your presence. And an honor to be able to give you the praise and the glory and the honor and worship for all that you do. You're so blessed, Lord. You bless us all. And Lord, let us appreciate our blessings and let us know where they come from, Lord. For everything we have comes from thee, all because of your love and desire and grace. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, and the saving of our souls. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.